15 to 20 million.
Jedi, I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Why, good morning, and welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM Radio, which, as you know, serves Philadelphia, southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. And as always, I ask that you go to your telephone and you invite a family member and friend to tune in today. We have a very interesting program on board. We're going to be talking about a lot of subjects today because there's a lot of things going on in the news and American workers need us. I also want to note that no matter where your family members or friends live, they can listen to us live simply by going on their internet connection and log on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. And right on the side, you'll see a listen live link on the left-hand side. Click on that and it goes right to our live broadcast. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here with the very popular Larkin Connolly, the president of SCORE, and also Rich Logis, who is a very important part of our organization. He is the principal of RJL Technology Integration, and also Mark Andel, who is the founder of Made in America Store, a store that has become a historic focal point for anyone who is saying it can't be done. Mark, you've been an inspiration, and it's, we've all been an inspiration since we began our broadcasts, and I started my commentary some years ago, but in the last few years, the Buy American Made campaign has really grown from a whisper to a major roar. And I know that all of us listening today, and all of us, part of the broadcast, thought at first it would be a limited response from the American people, but now we see that the people have united. And politicians and all never thought that our American people would unite to the degree that they have, and people are now influencing business leaders to do some positive things for American workers because our nation and our economy is at stake. And by the way, I want to mention before I go to our guest, today, as a result of people like Mark and Larkin and Rich and all of the people that are part of the network, Diane Sawyer, David Muir, many of the broadcasters that are carrying our weekly commentary, we've managed to influence tens of millions of supporters. And that's great because we're giving courage to the small businesses to do something positive, to keep those American-made products on the shelf, to keep people employed. And we have to keep it up because we don't have leadership in Washington right now to guide us to where we need to go. And I'm going to ask each of the guests to first speak up and tell us what they think of this sequester that's proposed on the table and what they would do to end it in a positive way. I'm going to start today with Rich.
Guys, good morning. How's everyone doing?
Good morning, Richard.
Morning to your listeners. Also, Mike, I want to just quick thank you because we're noticing that we have quite a few listeners coming on to our site, rjltechnologies.com. I've noticed they're coming off of the AmericanWorkersRadio.com site. So thanks to everyone for coming on. Just want to mention that first. As far as the discussions now, I just read a report yesterday that, you know, how accurate some of these polls are, I think, remains to be seen. But one thing I do think is an overarching sentiment is I think that the American the American public as a whole have probably grown somewhat fatigued with all of the discussions. And, we had the fiscal cliff, so-called, and now we have this. What I think is going to happen is there's going to be a they'll all come sort of to the middle. There will be some compromise made. I think either party wants to try and put a good effort or front a good effort. And I expect, Michael, that there's going to be some kind of compromise made. There are going to be some cuts. The military is I know one that's particularly targeted, and the fact is that once that's over with, you know, my conversations have revolved around this. Once those are done with, you know, now what? So what do we do from here now?
Rich, I want to ask you a question. How did all of this come about? People were already frustrated with the idea of the last, aggravation that we went through at the end of the year. How did this sequester come about? Many people ask me, I'm going to ask you to explain it to our listeners.
Well, Congress, as a whole, doesn't seem to pay attention to the fact that pretty much, a lot of places around the world view us as financially dysfunctional. And Congress doesn't seem to view itself that way. Now, I'm not saying we should be influenced in what we do by other nations, but when it's apparent around the world, but perhaps not as much here, I'm still not hearing, individuals within the government talking about, once this is done, how do we start basically waning off this dependence on other nations purchasing our currencies, our treasury notes, helping to just keep our government operational? And I know that the Congress is trying to convey that some of these cuts will do that, but I haven't really seen in the numbers where our dependence is going to start waning off of other nations. And I'm not talking about importing their goods and our companies going overseas. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just the borrowing needed to just keep us going.
Rich.
Operational.
We're hearing everything in the news media from the elected officials, from the president, why they're demanding more money, why they need more money. But I've never noticed or saw anything that they said, we're going to reduce this. We're going to put an end to our increases, our staff increases, the governmental operations that we should have never approved 2 and 3 and 5 years ago. We hear about all the terrible things. How about the things that they could do for us right now to cut the expenses so there's no need for sequestration or any other phony baloney program? Somehow or other, somebody's going to take the shaft over this, and it's definitely going to be the American people at large.
Well, Michael, the proposed cuts are estimated to save a little over $1 trillion over 10 years. And if the United States borrows at close to its current rate, that basically covers 1 year of borrowing. So it's, so if you do the math, if we save 1 year of borrowing over 10 years, is that really a significant number? I mean, if you really think about how much would be saved over the course of that decade. Perhaps the other guys have, not to speak for you guys, perhaps you think the cuts are, too little, too much. But I'm just looking at it from a sheer math point of view, because I failed everything past arithmetic. But I know if you save a trillion over 10 years and we borrow at that rate, it's really not that substantial.
We're going to go into double debt at that situation. What I would like to see is every department, especially all the congressional and Senate offices, outline every penny that it costs the taxpayers for them today, right now. I did ask one of the congressional assistants, and they said, well, you have to look it up in the congressional budget. I said that you should be able to email it to me. I would post it on my site, and we'll discuss it. Now, what are these congressional people paid? What about their staff? How about their pension plans? How about all their all the stuff that they get? Their travel, their lodging, their you name it. I can't even imagine what these people are getting, and yet they're not discussing any of that. Personally, we all know that there's too much government. every dollar possible should be cut, and the tax dollars are should be used to create more jobs. What's so hard to, you know, understand about that? When a businessman hears that he's going to get a 10-year abatement for opening up a new business and employing people, he'll be the first to do it. But if he's going to hear, well, every year or every 4 months, every 6 months, it's going to be a new crisis, well, where are we going to go with this? Where's the bottom line? We need to cut taxes now. We need to create jobs now. And I'm saying that from a standpoint of knowledge and experience. Being in social services, people endlessly contact me for jobs. These are not bums or anything like that. These are people who have been put out of a job because our businesses have been attracted abroad. And now with the sequestration and all, people really don't understand what it's all about. They want a job.
Michael, don't forget also a U.S. company going overseas, just as an FYI for your listeners, a company here going overseas is a tax write-offable
right.
deduction off their corporate taxes.
Right.
So, again, I am
but
not...
But I'd like to, Rich, when you see that in writing, which we have, I've seen, you know, basic supplies in the news media, little blurbs here and there. I'd like to see a full outline of what it's all about. I'd post it on our internet site and we'll have a special program about it.
I don't want to monopolize time, Michael. I want to get the other guys talking here, but I just want to say something I've reiterated. You know, if you look at businesses that spend, Mark, you know, hundreds of thousands a year, and then you get to the end of the year, it's tax time, right, Mark? You're getting ready?
Yep. Right? Corporate and personal.
You're getting ready. Yeah, you're getting ready for the big blow is what you're getting ready for.
Yeah, March 15th.
That, you know, a lot of these tax dollars, I mean, if the option is to the IRS or the option is back in your business, growth, investing, jobs, I don't know. I got to think that money, Mark, is better put to better use trying to invest back in your business, doing business elsewhere, creating jobs. But that's me. I'm simple-minded, but I'd like to hear what you think.
Mark, what do you think about all this sequestration and all that's being discussed?
You know, it's frustrating, and I don't like the climate they created again because people are unsettled, unsure what's going on, and they don't know what to do now, you know, the American people. Again, I agree with Rich, absolutely everything he said, but, you know, right now they need a great businessman. The country's a business, and, you know, you need more money coming in than going out. They have to learn to cut costs, and I know I'm listening to the, you know, 2%. They're hesitating about cutting the $80 million, which is really nothing. If they can't cut 2%, they can't cut anything. And then they play on the heartstrings of the people, and they, you know, Arizona. I see they let 7,000 prisoners out yesterday, and I'm laughing because it's before Friday.
Why would they let them out?
They let them out. It was a sheriff in Arizona I seen on where they let them out, and it was the good. It was the good of the bad. But they opened. They basically gave them a get out of jail free card. There's 35,000 plus illegal immigrants, and they let them out yesterday because they don't have the money to keep them in. But the sheriff was on, very decent, clean cut, younger guy. It said, why would they let them out in our area? They weren't even from our city and town. They were sent to us, and now they're saying they don't have the money to keep them. I mean, it's not even Friday yet. So I see this on TV. You know, it's just a shame. $80 million. Somebody had said, and Rich, you'd know better, if the interest rate ever went up to a standard, say 7-8%, our $17 trillion or just under, the interest on that alone would be $500 billion. So if we can't even cut, you know, $80 million or do any cuts, and you know, I just don't like the theater that they make this out to be. It's making people, you know, depressed, and it's a tough time of year anyways. But they need to run it like a business. It's a business. You have to control your costs. They never take their salaries down. You know, nobody ever comes up in a good company, a great company in a recession would cut the top first. You know, maybe you take 20%, 40%, 50% off the CEOs and all the top executives, and then you work down to your smaller guy who makes less, you take less. But they never come up with that plan. I never hear of any cuts. And Mike, you touched on that today. But I just don't think, you know, again, they don't get it, but I don't like where they're putting the country, this climate they've caused already. We needed people to start compromising and working together, and I just don't see it around it. I, you know, it's just unfortunate. Again, we try to stay positive. You know, the Made in America, store works. You know, lately we had growth January, February. People are joining the movement. People want to get involved. They're seeing maybe, hey, maybe I do make a difference. So, you know, that's my two cents on it, guys. I just don't think they treat it like a business. They have to control costs, and it's a shame if they can't even pull off this, and we keep pushing it month to month and keep this country in this climate.
Right. You're absolutely right. Larkin, what do you have to add to that?
Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Rich and Mark. How are you guys
doing? Good morning.
You know, at SCORE and the SBA, our mission is to start and grow small businesses. The SBA has a huge initiative, but ours is to start and grow small businesses. And it really is the root and foundation of a successful economy. I've said before, I don't know how a major American city thrives or even survives without having a strong manufacturing base. And we've talked about where manufacturing is in Philadelphia now. The loss over 25 years of hundreds of thousands of manufacturing jobs. But at SCORE, you know, we're trying to grow businesses. We're trying to start them and grow them. The sequestration scares people. And I think Mark used the right word. It's theater. I mean, it's there's too much press. I can go home and watch three consecutive hours of news and not even stay on one station. It's just too much coverage. You know, I don't know what's
over information.
It's too much information. My wife said to me, they don't get along. There's no compromise. They're so polarized. And I said, listen. They used to disagree back in the early 1800s to a point that they went out behind the Capitol and dueled it out and shot each other. I mean, nothing has changed there. It's just now all of a sudden somebody belches and it's covered by five networks, and everybody's analyzing, you know, what that means. So you're right. I mean, the government right now, the protocol is living from crisis to crisis, because somewhere along the line, the two different groups have become so terribly polarized that it comes down to the Democrats saying we have a revenue problem and the Republicans saying, no, we have an expense problem. But when you look at a small business, it generally is a little bit of both. So compromise shouldn't be difficult. It's just a matter of them getting together, as so infamously said, as Reagan and Tip O'Neill used to do. It took four cigars and a six-pack of beer, and they could hash anything out.
You know, Larkin, as you're saying that, I'm thinking to myself, maybe it's time for national leaders to lead by example. Maybe they should say, until our nation is debt-free, we will refund half of our pay, benefits, and other expenses immediately. We lead by example, and they should receive nothing more. Wait a second. They receive nothing more until America has a balanced budget and a complete five-year plan as to how we're going to pay down our a debt here in the USA, so that our young people and the people not born today still don't have this cross on their back after they're 5 and 10 and 15 years old. In fact, maybe they should receive zero until our budget is balanced, and all their staff members should receive half the pay until they encourage their bosses to do something and finally get something on the table. We haven't had an approved budget in the last 4 years. I mean, how can you operate in that respect? Mark, can you operate without some kind of a basic budget?
We have to have a budget, and you know, you have to have a plan. And we've got tighter and tighter, and that's how we're keeping our lights on here. And Rich, you know, owning a business, and Larkin, you work with people trying to start out. I just had my bank, gentlemen come through, and generally they don't want to just come through, so they want to come through, bring the boss and the boss's boss through. And they came through. I showed them what we're doing, and they love it, and what we manufacture, what we make, what we've done with the Made in America store. But I brought my young nephew in, and at the end of the 2 hours, you know, they went right to, well, we're going to need more paperwork. Your corporates are coming up, right, your year end, and we're going to need this, and, you know, we need this new review for next year. And right away they changed. They were like a politician in a way where, you know, I thought, boy, they had some heartstrings. They really cared what we're doing. We're doing a great thing. It's growing. But then they want them papers again. They want paperwork. And I said, you know, it's harder and harder for new businesses, and Larkin, you'd appreciate this. You know, with great people, great business plan to get out of their garage, you just won't let them have money. And they said, well, it's harder to get it, but I know they got 40, 50 billion in assets, but it's so hard to get money out of the banks. And, you know, I just see this, the bank problem, and the bigger banks are getting bigger. The smaller ones are having trouble. They're making special arrangements for the big banks. I just, you know, that's a large problem. Larkin, you can agree with, you know, start up for your business. I was really, you know, being in that interview, 2 hours was great. And then at the end, they want more paperwork next week. Every week they want more paperwork.
Yes, it's a service-oriented economy. Kill you with paperwork. No plans for tomorrow. I really believe they mismanage this country so bad. And working in social services, and I'll say it again, the amount of people that contact us that are quality people that want nothing to do with government, and yet they're forced to go place to place looking for jobs. It is a disgrace. And I think that's a good idea. They should lead by example. And I'd like to see all the press running over to talk to Boehner and all the others about how they reduce their pay, and, you know, let them cover that kind of stuff. Lead by example.
I couldn't agree with you more on that, Mike. And stop piling rocks on us. We don't want the government to save us. We just don't need no more handcuffs. Pile more and more rocks, you know, on us. Make it harder and harder. New York's getting tougher and tougher, and we live and breathe it. But it's getting very, very tough, and they've got to, you know, they've got to make a difference. They can't just keep pushing this fiscal cliff one, fiscal cliff two, fiscal cliff three every month. It's just keeping the country, you know, anchored down.
We're going to be blessed next week with a visit from David Dixon that we're going to talk about later. David's a district director for the SBA. And David will be able to detail, I promise you, some of the great things that the SBA is doing. And they are doing great things. That's the problem. We sit around and talk about the black and the white of things, and we don't understand that the world is gray. Everybody has to collaborate. Everybody has to come together and pull together. And you know, we can point at Congress and blame them. We can point at the Senate. We can point at the president and say, why can't these people get anything done? It's a very difficult world we live in.
And you know, Larkin, you're right. I think that the national media should be paying attention to Small Business Administration issues. Let people know what it's all about. There may be people on the fence that would like to go into a business, and maybe this is the encouragement they need. But instead, they're following all this insanity in Washington. And it's every station. There's very few stations I can now watch that it's not the same rigmarole, rehashed, and eaten again.
Right. But there's a lot of good things coming out of Washington, D.C.
And somebody, I said earlier, somebody, when this sequestration is all settled, somebody gets the shaft, and I don't want to tell you who it's going to be.
Yeah.
The taxpayers. We're going to pause for 1 minute, and Larkin's coming back with another thought he wanted to share with us.
Yolanda Konopatska de Scipio, attorney at law, is available to handle your legal matters. She's part of the well-known firm Bennett, Bricklin, and Salzburg, and works in all areas of the law, including immigration, personal injury, compensation, and real estate. Yolanda Konopatska de Scipio is fluent in both English and Polish and welcomes clients to contact her from throughout the Philadelphia area and New Jersey. If you need legal assistance, call Yolanda Konopatska de Scipio at area code 215-423-4824. That's area code 215-423-4824. For all of your banking needs, call on Washington Savings Bank, which offers checking and savings accounts, IRAs, CDs, home mortgages, and home equity loans, along with a host of other services at its five offices at 2701 East Allegheny Avenue in Port Richmond, 2548 East Lehigh Avenue in Fishtown, and in the Northeast at 2900 Comley Road, 10663 Busselton Avenue and 8729 Frankfort Avenue. Banking hours at all offices of Washington Savings Bank are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., Friday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. The Port Richmond Kazimierzwielki branch at Edgemont and Allegheny Avenue is also open on Sunday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. For more information about the many services provided by Washington Savings Bank, call the main number in Philadelphia at area code 215-698-9400. That's area code 215-698-9400. Or visit a Washington Savings Bank near you.
Serena's Auto Body Shop and Collision Center has two locations to serve you. One at 6201 Oxford Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. The other is at 691 Bethlehem Pike in Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania. For more information, call Serena's Auto Body at 215-535-6606. That's 215-535-6606. Polka Deli is located at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia, and they feature Polish-style meats and deli products and a selection of imported products from Poland and Polish-American products. Stop by Polka Deli, 2719 East Allegheny Avenue, and see the great selection of products they offer. For more information, call Polka Deli at area code 215-634-3750. That's 215-634-3750. Dr. Eva Machak has two dental offices in Philadelphia to serve you. One at 3084 Armingo Avenue in Port Richmond, another at 4250 Richmond Street in the Bridesburg section. Dr. Eva Machak will provide you with quality dental care at affordable prices. For more information or an appointment, call Dr. Eva Machak at area code 215-739-2787. That's 215-739-2787. Dr. Machak speaks both English and Polish. Welcome back to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM Radio, serving Philadelphia and the tri-state area and the entire world on the internet by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. And you can click on the Listen Live link when we're on live, or listen anytime. There is a link right under that. And also on the front page of that site, you have our four pictures. You'll see Larkin Connolly, Rich Logis, and Mark Andel, and myself. And by the way, we also have a new link up there this week. It is gasbuddy.com, and we'll be having a reporter from gasbuddy.com in the next few weeks. But first, I would like to call upon Larkin, who has a special presentation.
Well, it's actually not a presentation, Michael. I just wanted to recount, and I think I can use this as an example. SCORE is apolitical, so this I don't bring this up for political reasons. I bring it up for economic reasons. But I was invited to be part of, by virtue of my involvement with SCORE, to be part of a conference call yesterday in which the Commerce Department of Philadelphia reviewed a bill with everybody online at the conference call that they thought might have an effect on small businesses in Philadelphia. And it's City Council Bill 130004 that has not gotten a lot of attention, but I guarantee you after yesterday's phone call it will. And it's a bill that would require all employers inside the city of Philadelphia to grant paid sick leave to all of their workers. The bill also would allow the workers to use paid sick time to take care of their family and also to deal with other family obligations. If you've got five or less employees, you're exempt. If you have 6 to 10 employees, every employee gets 32 hours, and you count part-time employees in your mix. And if you've got 11-plus employees, it's 56 hours or a week, a year. And the law specifically says that you must allow the employee to carry the sick leave over from year to year, thereby building this huge bank that would allow them to retire a month earlier or whatever. And it exempts, of course, collective bargaining issues in our town. Temporary employees who will not be around for 6 months or more. So the seasonal employees will not be included. I'm trying to think of the people that do our farm work.
Mm-hmm.
They're excluded. And, of course, state and federal employees are excluded.
Isn't that nice of them?
I do take a side on this because we are an advocate for small businesses, and I obviously think this is just another in a long line of blows to small businesses in the city of Philadelphia. But I put the word out to all small businesses that might be listening, get involved. This bill came up two or three years ago. It was passed resoundingly by city council, and Mike Nutter vetoed it.
Mm-hmm.
And city council didn't come back and overturn his veto.
And who was the council person that proposed it?
I wish I could tell you. I don't know. I know there are about five names on it. I don't know who proposed it, but Maria Sanchez's name is on it. Greeley. I really shouldn't even be stating names because I don't have a clear sight on that.
Well, the thing is, I would like to know, Larkin, how many of those people meet a regular week-to-week payroll themselves, that they would be able to make those kinds of demands? Or have they been lifelong people within the system so they don't understand what it takes to keep the lights on and the gas heating during the winter months? Well, this is just another way of telling you that big government is controlling what you do. And that's another thing that's killed America's businesses over the last few decades.
This bill is passed in San Francisco. Surprise. In Washington, D.C.
And when is it expected to go before the council for the next?
Well, I think we have, there are public hearings next week. And the Commerce Department of Philadelphia is asking everybody who has a position to show up at the public hearings. And I believe it's in council chamber. No, it's not. I would say look online at the city.
I would like to see our local news media going around to the local stores and the businesses, the manufacturers and all, and see what they have to say about it, because this is not something city council or the state legislature or Washington should be mandating. This should be done by the business owner who wants to keep good employees and not, you know, have them held accountable by a law.
They two things about this disturb me as a SCORE employee and as a SCORE volunteer. One is that when asked what the impact would be to small businesses, they had no idea.
They've never met a payroll.
Did they know what happened in San Francisco?
They fed on the system like beasts for years, and now they want, you know, to put some other obligation upon you.
And the other thing is, as I calculated, and I'm sure my numbers are somewhat contorted, but I, the best I could figure out, that this is probably somewhere between a 4 and 4.5% increase on your payroll.
Incident. Oh, out of the question. No, the state and the cities and the feds should not mandate this kind of stuff. This is what's killing our businesses and making people run away. The fact that they've been bringing all this stuff over here from foreign countries and the people have just been buying it up like nothing is in itself an indication that we have to stop all the regulations. Mark, if you heard about that bill, what would you say?
Yeah, you know, I don't. You guys touched on a key. They don't have an understanding. Anything they mandate, and I think Rich would agree, I need the option when times get tough to cut costs. And I want to. My goal is to treat my employees the best I can and have the best benefit package we can. But when the times got tougher here, we did cut health, you know, what my percentage I paid. But, you know, we kept health by cutting. I don't like anything that's mandated or tells us we have to, because when the times get tough, even the Obama, the plan, the health plan coming up, we're all afraid of, because if it makes you, you know, do something, it's another cost of that business. And boy, if you can't afford it, and afford is what the government can't afford, a lot of the things they do, if we can't afford it, we don't do it. But if we're our arms held, you know, where we have to do it, that's a problem to keep the lights on, like you said, Mike. And it's just you don't want stuff mandated to you. We already have enough fees. They're all three-letter words, taxes. You know, back on what Larkin said with the SBA, SBA did help me, Larkin, years ago, and it's a great organization, so I want to say hats off, and I'm interested to hear what's going to be said next week. And I just want to bring up, I had two, when I opened my store in 2010, April, a lot of other stores started to pop up with our media attention. We kind of inspired a lot of people to jump on board. And lately, in the last week, U.S. Mercantile was a place probably about an hour from me, opened up. And, hey, God bless them. I said they're all pushing. Well, they just went out of business. Unfortunately, they're going back down to Florida. They couldn't hang on with the tough times. And I had another company that opened up called U.S. or American Made, which is down in Canandaigua, New York. And I met the owners the first time yesterday. They came in. They were very excited to meet me. They took the drive, closed their shop. They're hanging on. They had very tough January, February. They love what they do, and Mike and Diane came up. It was nice to meet them. They shook my hand. They seen the store. They love what we're doing. They know I have got a lot more inventory, but it was great to see this positiveness. You know, Mike, on your question, you know, I don't want nothing mandated to keep business. I try to stay positive. It was nice to see these other two people that believe in what we all do, and I think we are making the difference, the four of us in your station, and what we do. So I like to bring up, when I seen these two people yesterday, they inspired me, and they were shaking my hand. You know, they're only about a year and a half in business, having tough times. They're both working 7 days a week. But it reminds me again, which Larkin, you probably see all the time, these younger, or these people that really, you know, are just getting into business, really learning how tough it is, and learning you got to put everything into it, but they need help.
Rich, what do you think about this idea that's coming up in Philadelphia, and what happens in Philadelphia could start to really sprinkle out throughout the country?
Well, guys, you know, I, as a business person, I still find myself always on the side of encouraging people to get into business for themselves. And I do think it's important to tell prospective business owners that it is going to be the hardest thing that they probably do, and that their percentage, that their, excuse me, their likelihood of failure is actually quite high. So, having said that, I mean, when I started my business, I knew there was a very high probability of failure. Is that a negative thing? You know, Larkin, perhaps you would, you know, maybe agree or disagree with what I'm saying, but I think it's important to stress just how difficult it is. And, you know, I've always had this idealistic thinking about business that, you know, when you can manage your business well, when you can, you know, operate it and run it better than a competitor, that you're gonna have the reward at the end of it all, which is that you're gonna stay in business, you're gonna thrive, you're gonna succeed, you're hopefully going to continue to grow. Small business people whom I know, they spend hundreds of thousands a year to keep it going, and you know, they get socked at the end of the year with another huge tax bill. And included in all of those tax bills are all of these little have to do this, have to do that. And I think that we have to look at mandates on a case-by-case basis. But generally, as a business person, I want to be able to manage my business the way that I want to, within the letter and spirit of the law, and not be told, not have anything told to me, have to do this, have to do that, whatever the case. Because you guys notice that all the have-tos always cost you more money. I mean, governments are good at, you know, do as I say, not as I do. Mm-hmm. We know that, right? We know that. Do as I say, not as I do. Unfortunately, we in the United States have not really made it apparent that we want to issue a mandate to the Congress stating all the various things, Michael, you have. Cut your pay. you know, take a reduction.
Get zero until the deficit's, you know, reduced, until we have a five-year budget. What's wrong with a five-year budget in the USA? Let's identify what really is going on. Have you noticed there are no hearings in Washington or in the state or even in the cities that are asking people to come forward and discuss what exactly would be the best way to open up new businesses in the communities where you live? Nothing. A lot of businesses paying small amounts of taxes adds up a lot. Yet the people who want those tax dollars want to put demands on you, come up with all kind of tricks to get more money out of you, but they have no desire to help you open that business, maintain the livelihoods of people that live in the communities. None of that is ever discussed. Just now, all of a sudden, you have to give them the sick time and everything else. It's totally insane.
Well, Rich, you're 100% right. Starting a small business is a heck of a lot more than an endeavor that allows you to buy a BMW after 4 months of being your own boss. And at SCORE, we go to great lengths in the onboarding process of making sure we point to our brain, we point to our heart, and we point to our back wallet and say, those three things have got to be in order for you to do this. If you don't have the mind to be a small businessman and the knowledge of what it's going to take, and then you point to the heart, if you don't have the passion and you don't have everybody behind your heart involved, the last thing a new budding entrepreneur does is remember to go home and make sure that every member of his direct family is 100% behind what he is going to do, because this is a life-changing event for every one of them. And if you go into a small business without your wife's 100% support, you can expect to have to go see your reverend or a psychiatrist pretty early in the onset, because she, not to her fault, doesn't understand, or he doesn't understand how critical a part of the whole plan, you know, they are. And if you don't have the money right, you also should back off until you get that.
I want to mention,
you know, Larkin, as a business person, excuse me, Michael, as a business person, you know, I don't get, you know, paid time off, right? I don't get paid religious holidays, for example, which is a whole other conversation, which I'm generally against. But hey, if you're going to pay me for a religious holiday, I mean, well, we can worship someone different every day. You know, Jesus one day, Buddha the next day, Allah, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, the sun god. You know, I mean, but, you know, I say with, you know, somewhat jokingly, I want to, all of us as business people.
Santa Claus another, the Easter bunny, let's see.
Right, just, we'll worship some. If I'm getting paid, man, we'll worship. I'm against paid religious holidays. I think it's a violation of the Constitution, but that's a whole other thing. I want to be able to succeed and fail primarily on my own merits. But you
wait
know,
a minute.
What it really comes down to is that the playing field is not even. Bottom line, the playing field is not even.
Wait a second, guys. A guy just came in here into the studio with a guitar.
Henry?
Whoa, what's going on here? What's this, a sequestration special or something? Oh, I've heard everything and seen everything now.
That's Johnny Francis Nathaniel Muscow. To the layperson, Johnny effing Muscow.
Oh, you've seen him before, Larkin, haven't you? Over at the... Very good. Thank you so much. Boy, I'll tell you, we're talking about worshiping gods, and all of a sudden somebody comes in here. Every day it's a new, we could have this guy up as an idol. Boy, that was very interesting. I really.
Getting paid for sure. What the hell? Why not?
I got news for you. I'm locking the door.
You know, as we're discussing all this, and I want to thank our visitor, who we know for a long time, who came over here and surprised me and everybody else. It was great. I want to say that I'm going to ask all of you listening to call your congressmen and your senators in Washington and let them know what you're thinking. And in fact, when you make a call to them, let them know this. The fact that America relies on foreign imports for so much of its day-to-day needs is a national disgrace. And as the elected official from your particular community, you're putting them on notice. They ask for your vote. You didn't ask them to go up. They ask for your vote. You tell them you want them out this time. If we don't get them off their butts to do something to change this economy, to get the people back to work, so that when people come to me, I have jobs for them to go to. We'll be back in one moment. And thank you for tuning in. Spread the word. And I want to thank Johnny Muskow for giving us the surprise of our life.
For a snack or meal that's ready in minutes, trust the quality and variety of Giorgio. Giorgio's mouth-watering mozzarella or jalapeno cheese sticks and tempting home-style breaded mushrooms are the perfect meal or snack to fit into your family's busy schedule. Giorgio Foods, the standard of quality since 1928, can be found in the frozen sections of supermarkets across the country. Also, try their delicious variety of fresh mushrooms for a healthy way to add flavor to your favorite meal.
The law firm of Dominic Rostovsky is located on the 30th floor of 1818 Market Street in Philadelphia. Whatever your legal needs are, contact the Rostovsky Law Firm at area code 215-913-6090. That's 215-913-6090. You can also visit the law firm of Dominic Rostovsky on the internet at Rostovsky.com. Dominic Rostovsky, attorney at law, is available to assist you in the English and Polish language. The next portion of our broadcast today is being presented by Steam My Carpets, and they serve commercial and residential properties in the Philadelphia area. Contact Jay Grzeczynski at Steam My Carpets at 1-877-778-3263 or visit them on the internet at steammycarpets.com. And also being presented by the Polish Eagle Sports Club, located at 3157 East Thompson Street in Port Richmond, Philadelphia. For weddings and special events, call the Polish Eagle Sports Club at 215-423-0800. The Polish Roman Catholic Union of America, known as the PRCUA, established in 1873, is the oldest Polish-American life insurance organization in the United States. They offer outstanding life insurance plans for men, women, and children from $5,000 all the way up to $1 million of coverage per person. The PRCUA is a national fraternal organization, so people can secure life insurance plans and annuities from anywhere in the USA. Their main office is in Chicago, and their satellite office is in Port Richmond, Philadelphia, at 2636 East Allegheny Avenue. The Philadelphia office is open Monday through Friday between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., and if you're not available during those times, representatives will meet with you in the evening or during the weekend. For more information, call the PRCUA Philadelphia office at area code 215-425-3807. That's 215-425-3807.
It's the office of Dr. Vojimir Zin and Everest Dental, located at 9892 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia, provides quality service at affordable prices. For a full range of dental services, from general care to implants, veneers, and many other procedures, contact Everest Dental for an appointment at area code 215-671-0188. From the moment you enter the office of Dr. Vojimir Zin of Everest Dental, you will witness the latest technology in all areas of dental services. The Everest Dental offices accept all major insurances. Dr. Zin speaks English and Polish and welcomes you to call Everest Dental, 9892 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia, at area code 215-671-0188. That's area code 215-671-0188.
Welcome back to another live edition of American Workers Radio. We certainly had a very good time today during our broadcast. I would like to now remind all of you that this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is the first weekend of the month, and all of you are asked to go out and support all of your local businesses. In fact, right on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com, there is a link, National Small Business Weekend. When you click on that, you can go to the top. There's promotional posters. Print that out. Put it in your window. Give it to the store near you. Let them know that National Small Business Weekend is another opportunity for them to do something special in their community to make this American economy turn around. We have to really help one another. By the way, I want to also say that people are in total control of America's economy, not the politicians. Buy only American-made products for the next 6 months. Shop around. You'll find them. Maybe you don't need them for a while. Shop around. Let's take the Buy American Made Challenge for the next 6 months and see what we come up with. And by the way, businesses have had a few years to search out for more American-made products from their suppliers. They are on the market. They're not in the big numbers that there should be, but they are in the market. And this is an opportunity for you to see how well your store has been doing to try to get some more American-made products on the shelf. And by the way, we know that we'll never get 100% of anything unless it's foreign made, but we want to restore that 50-50 balance. And I want to say a special thank you to Larkin, to Rich, and to Mark, and to every one of you that is going out of your way to promote our broadcast, to promote our all the issues that we're bringing up here, whether it's Small Business Weekend, or we're going to be talking about the debt clock, which we want to change to make sure that that near $17 trillion reduces so that it's not on the back of our children and our grandchildren, and all of the other issues that are taking place to revive America's economy. As I said, people are in total control. Nobody can reach into your pocket and take your dollar out to buy something if you don't feel that good about buying it. Don't buy on impulse. Buy with a message in your mind and in your heart that I have to support American workers at this point. Mark, what do you have to add to that?
No, I love that, and I want to say we do have that National Small Business Weekend, shop here, and that's going to be framed in our store from now on. I did see a nice commercial on that, presented by American Express on National Small Business Weekend every end of the month, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or every month, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I think that's great stuff. You know, we're up to 4,800 products. We just counted our products, 100% made in America. We help business to business now, too. We do wholesale, too. So this small place that's seen us yesterday, they want to buy smaller quantities, smaller numbers, control their inventory. We said use our website, use our distribution house. We can help you because they don't want to have that big inventory that hurts cash flow. I just think, Mike, you're dead on what you said. You know, when they shop, buy less, but buy more made in America quality products. You might not need certain things. Don't buy them. Take a look at what you're buying, and you can, the consumer has all the power. The consumer can change this country, and we are. It takes time, but we need more believers and more people to go out of their way a little bit and educate themselves on what they're buying.
You're 100% right, Mark, and we we need everybody to understand, unfortunately, we live in an economy where it's all price, location, maybe. You can throw a location in there. And any commitment to support our economy and to support America's small businesses, it may cost you 5, 8, 10% more on the price tag, but you're helping the guy next door. You're helping the guy, the family across the street. And there should be an awful lot of people that want to do that.
And parking, by the way, as I went around distributing some of the National Small Business Weekend posters, a few of the people in the store said to me, if we could only get this parking authority to lay off us, at least on Saturday of Small Business Weekend, so that people can come here and walk around without the aggravation of seeing a sign that says 60-minute, one-hour parking only. Let us have one day of peace where people can come, go store to store, get to know your community, get to know your merchants once again.
They do that on South Street. The PPA really does have an effect on the quality of life in the city. There's no question of it. But it brings in an enormous amount of revenue, millions and millions and millions of dollars a month it brings into the city, so obviously. But it's on South Street, Wednesday night, from 5 until the next morning is
free parking. Do that here all through the area.
But the thing that slays me is that it's not on a sign anywhere. There is no indication of that. So I walk up and down the street and say, hey, don't feed that meter. It's free. I'm trying to tell everybody. So if there were a sign out that said, and I said this to the South Street Head House District, you got to get that word out somehow in posters and everybody's window. Somehow, everybody has to know. I asked one of the PPA people, the regulars in our neighborhood, and she said, I don't think the revenue to PPA on the South Street drops that much, because people pull in here to shop and they go feed the meter. They don't
somehow or other. The cities, the states, and the federal government benefit as people spend their dollars in the stores and in the restaurants. So they should give them a break. You don't want to pay money to $5 to cross the bridge and then pay the parking ticket because you went into a store and got talking or looking at the paintings or whatever. We have to start working more closely with one another. Rich, what would you do to help promote our National Small Business Weekend idea?
Well, Michael, one thing I want to mention quick, I know you bring the debt up a lot. Today, John Boehner's office released something about every family's share of the national debt. And I have to laugh at this because, the Republican Party has contributed to our debt as much as the Democrats have. I mean, they really have. So. And as I've expressed many times on the show, I don't favor either side. So the implication being, one side's not responsible, whereas the other is, and that's just factually incorrect. So your listeners might be interested to go and check that out. As far as small businesses, I mean, Michael, I always look to buy American. I can control what I do. Henry, who does a great job of organizing this show, he and I, we talk about music a lot and musical instruments, and, we buy American made. Stuff made overseas oftentimes is junk, and we spend more.
Rich, we're going to ask Larkin to have a few words, and we're listening to live music in the background presented by Johnny Moscow.
Obviously, I forgot to lock the door. Johnny's back. Yeah, I just wanted to mention, Michael, that next week we are going to, and I wanted Rich and Mark to know this also, that David Dixon, who's the district director for the Philadelphia District Office of the United States Small Business Administration, is going to be here. And this is going to be really a refreshing look at what the SBA does for small businesses and what they've accomplished over the years. But what makes David that great of a listen, and why I just absolutely love to listen to him, is that he spent the lion's share of his career in the private sector in management of manufacturing facilities. So he's a manufacturer by trade who came over, and I'll let him say, but I believe it's like 8 or 10 years ago, he to finish out his career as the district director for the SBA.
Well, we will be promoting him in advance of his visit next week. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as you can see by the clock on the wall, it's time for me to say dovidzenia. Go to your computer, email our link to your family members and friends, and remember, go out and support small businesses this first Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of the month. Bye.
Thank you, everyone.
Have a great day, everyone.
Thanks much, guys.